of kid.
All I gotta say is Portland can't say shit.
It's scintillating. It's sensational. It's Seattle Sounders FC soccer.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Sounders Scuttlebutt. I'm your host, Cameron Collins. Aaron is on baby duty, and so we give him that chance to be a good dad, and we will come in here and get other people to join us, and that's what we've done today. We have a very special guest, previous guest of the show, longtime listener, not first-time caller, but this is maybe your third or fourth time.
Probably third time I think on the show. Thanks for having me back.
Of course, the one and only Daniel Boniface of the Denver Gazette. You've covered the Rapids, you've covered the Sounders for the Seattle Times. So Dan, we're real happy to have you here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. In my current role, I'm not officially covering the team in any way. So, full disclosure, I am a Rapids season ticket holder, member of Centennial 38, the fan supporter group that's behind the goal.
Absolutely, they're good people. I've certainly spent time with them through Gorilla FC and with you. And also at ISC, the Independent Supporters Council, we got to go to the, what do you call that? The tailgate barbecue before the match when I was down there a couple of years ago.
Yeah. The tailgate, as they say here, the tailgate is undefeated, because it's a pretty dang good tailgate. You drop in at the stadium there and pay $12, and you get all you can eat, all you can drink. They usually got like 6 or 8 kegs, and then burgers, hot dogs, things like that, pizza. It's a good time.
Nice, yeah. It was a good time for sure, and lots of people just out enjoying the sun when I was there, since it was a summer. It might have been 4th of July weekend. When I was there. So it was a fun time.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. Yeah.
So today, before you watch the Sounders games though. So it's not like you don't follow Sounders. You're from Seattle, and you keep up with what the Sounders are doing. So why don't we start, just talking about last week's Sounders match where we got 6 minutes and they called the game. So we did not actually get a game. You were watching.
Yeah, I was watching. Not a whole lot to review there other than, does a soccer ball bounce in a puddle? That was pretty much the extent of what we saw.
Yeah. It was pretty wild. And I think the big takeaway that from it for us, both, well, on this podcast at least, but for the Sounders, was that when this game is rescheduled, and obviously they don't know when it's going to be rescheduled, they have to come in with the exact same lineups, and the ball is dropped at the exact same point in the field where the ball was dropped, and you have to have the same bench. So a lot of people, when it happened, said, oh, this will benefit the Sounders because they'll have more time to rest and get better players in. It's like, no, that game doesn't start over. The same players that were on the field will have to be on the field, absent, I mean, I guess if they do it at the end of the season, it's possible that some players won't be on the team anymore. And then I don't know what you do. I suppose you can fill that spot with somebody.
Yeah, I do think you are allowed to swap out roster spots in situations like that. The Rapids ran into something similar to that last year in a game that they played against Portland that got delayed at halftime or postponed at halftime. And they came back. Portland came back to town a week later and they finished it. And there was, I think somebody had an injury and they were allowed to swap it out. So I do think there's a little bit of wiggle room for injuries and you know, transfers and things like that.
Not a lot, though. And that's especially true with for important for a Sounders team that had injured players and thus was missing a bunch of starters. But also Philadelphia was sitting some key players because they had a game actually tonight while we're recording on a Tuesday night in the Champions League against Pachuca, where they ended up losing 6-0. So
I hadn't seen that scoreline. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, a little rough there. I think Orlando's match against Tigres is starting right about now. I'm going to throw that on in the background as we're here. If I can figure out how to turn off the volume on the TV, maybe I won't. But we don't want to interrupt the podcast, obviously. But yeah, kind of a rough match for them, where I think they really wanted to have an impact, and it was a second leg, so they're done, they're out of the tournament, and maybe Philadelphia is not the team they were last year.
Yeah, you know, I've been a little bit surprised by Philadelphia recently. I kind of expected more from them, but you know, beginning of the season when you're in CONCACAF Champions Cup, I mean, Sounders know how that is. Your team gets spread pretty thin when you're trying to compete at a high level on so many fronts. So I would think that, you know, I would like at least withhold judgment on any of the teams that are in CONCACAF Champions Cup right now until we get a little bit, you know, beyond that, and we see what do they look like when they're only focused on the league play.
What do you think was the reason behind the change from calling it Champions League to Champions Cup? Obviously they changed the format, but it seems like you'd want to play off the success of UEFA Champions League and keep that name.
Yeah, it literally makes no sense to me. I feel like they should call it the Champions League, because exactly the point that you just made. But yeah, I have no idea. And it was kind of established already, like, you know, people were calling it CCL, or, you know, I don't know why you would want to rebrand something when it's already established.
Yeah, I guess it'll all be CCL in my mind instead of CCC as it is.
Yeah.
That sounds dumb. I forgot. One thing we do on this podcast is that we have drinks that we bring along. You don't happen to have a beer or something, do you?
I came prepared. Yeah. But mine is empty right now.
Oh. You might need some more whiskey.
Yeah, that's what I've got here. I haven't poured any yet, but I've got this super fancy what do you call these things?
Decanter.
Yeah, it was my grandma's. And so I'm just going to pour a little splash in here. I don't know if you can even hear that.
Your grandma that used to live in your parents' basement?
Yep, she had a little apartment down there, and so yep. Used to be able to see her all the time.
So, what kind of whiskey are you drinking?
Cheers, Grandma. Well, it could be anything super fancy in here, right? But no, it's just some Jim Beam.
Hey, that's better than me, where I'm going with the Canada Dry Fruit Splash Cherry Ginger Ale Zero Sugar today. So we'll get that nice can open. Obviously, as listeners know, I'm not dry, but I don't drink a lot. So I don't have anything on hand. And actually, this is literally the only can I could open and make a cool sound with in the entire house right now. So it's what I went with.
Nice. Well, I don't know if mine made much of a sound, but hopefully the listeners got something out of that.
Oh, yeah, the ice. It sounded cool.
Cool.
You know, one of the things that I think maybe we could start by talking about here and then get more into Sounder stuff. This is Scuttlebutt, obviously, and we have some Scuttlebutt time. We're not going to talk F1. Instead, I've known you for 30 years this fall.
That's pretty crazy. Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, that's, 60% of our lives? Not quite. More, because we're not 50.
Yeah, I've known you most of my life there, Cam.
Yeah. So it's fun to be able to have you on. And, you know, you moved across, well, first you moved to Pullman, but then you moved across the country to Miami and then ended up in Boulder/Denver. And I guess I just stayed on the West Coast, California and back here, but we've still been able to stay connected. And I think our love of soccer and Fortnite continues that.
Yep. Yep. Definitely. It's been fun talking soccer with you over the years, and then of course playing Fortnite, and happy to jump on the podcast and talk a little bit about the Sounders, you know, because I watch them and I listen to you guys on the podcast pretty regularly, and then it just makes sense, you know, with Aaron being out and the Sounders having the Rapids on the schedule next, might be able to bring a little bit of context to what we're going to see this weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get there. I was just thinking about, I mentioned it to you the other day, when we would sit up in your, like, it was almost like an attic space where was that your bedroom?
Yeah. Yeah. We converted the attic into like a bedroom and yeah, that was my space up there.
And then we'd play, I guess FIFA was out, but we were playing the champion, what was it, the PES? Was that what it was? It was one of those other ones. And when you kick it, it'd be like, what a cracker.
Yeah. The old Konami version for N64, International Superstar Soccer.
Yeah. That was amazing. That's, our soccer fandom goes back a long way, and you know, there's pictures of us all in Brazil jerseys during the 98 World Cup.
Yep.
So good times had by everyone. One thing I wanted to ask you about, though, before we get to MLS, Sounders, Rapids, stuff like that, is you, we've talked about your son on the podcast, Beckham, who awesome soccer player and is on one of the Rapids Academy teams. As someone who's had to deal with, you know, academy and select teams and stuff like that, what is it like being a part of that pay to play system in the United? I mean, you're traveling tomorrow to Arizona, right? Like, you are a part of that system. What do you think that hinders how we do grow soccer stars in the United States?
Well, I do think it's difficult because, you know, you're not going to get everybody. Not everybody can afford, you know, the prices to play on some of these upper level teams. But, you know, I feel like if you've really got the skill, even if you're just playing rec, as long as you're playing all the time, somebody's going to discover you and give you the right opportunity somewhere. But, you know, maybe you're not going to reach the level that you would have if you had had access to better coaching, better facilities, you know, better opportunities, playing against better competition. I wish there was a better system for it. You know, once they get to be a certain age, you know, it's paid for by the clubs. I think it's maybe U14 or U15. The clubs start footing the bill for that first team in the academy. But, you know, right now, so Beckham plays with the Colorado Rapids youth soccer setup. They have five different regions across Colorado, and so he plays in one of the regions, and he's on the top team in that region. And then every year they have like a tryout with all five of the regions, and they make like one super team out of the five, all the best players from all five regions. And so that's like kind of the pool that they're going to be picking from when they move up into that like academy that plays in like MLS Next Pro and all of that. And he's kind of on the fringe of that. He hasn't he's been invited to the tryouts, but he hasn't made it into that first team of the academy, or the, I guess it's still considered like a youth soccer club at this point because they're still playing club. But you know, it's been an interesting journey for him, and you know, he's had some good coaches, he's had some tough coaches, you know, he's, as long as he's enjoying it and enjoying his soccer and having a fun time, you know, I'm happy with, you know, with his soccer experience. So I don't know, that's kind of where I'm at with it. If it's meant to be and he moves on, that's great. You know, if he wants to pursue it long term, that's great. But as long as he's having fun, I'm happy about it.
Yeah, and he's still young. I mean, there's plenty of time to work his way up to the top system there.
Yep. And as they always say in these, you know, youth soccer tryouts, you know, your progress is not going to be linear. You know, some people are going to improve at different rates, and you know, maybe one year you're going to rapidly improve and maybe one year you'll be a little bit more flat. But you know, I've really enjoyed watching his team this year. They're really the coach that they have has really got them together. And but you know, I don't need to go, I'm sure the listeners don't really care about how some random Rapids youth soccer team is doing.
Wow, the Tigres just scored on Orlando, pretty nice goal. And then the guy who scored, who I don't know what his name is because they have ads all over their jersey, so I don't know what's an ad and what's his name, did a flip after he scored. So Tigres is now up 1-0 over Orlando, and up 1-0 on aggregate in the second leg of the CONCACAF Championship Cup matchup. Nice goal there. So how is his lobbying for y'all to move to Miami so that he could become a Miami homegrown and play with Messi?
That's funny. He used to want to do that. He before they signed Messi, he was way into it because his name's Beckham, and obviously David Beckham owns the team. And so when the team was announced, you know, he got the kit the first year. He's got the inaugural year scarf and everything for Inter Miami. But ever since he started playing for Rapids and we became season ticket holders a couple years ago, now he's all about the Rapids. So I think we'll probably be here long term.
That's good to hear. Yeah, I mean, I think it's probably easier to break into, not that there's not great players in Colorado. We know there's so many good players in Colorado, but everyone's trying to move to Miami to be near Messi now. So that'll be easier, I think, to get up there.
Yeah, there you go.
So let's go back and talk a little bit more about what we saw in Philadelphia, and then we can talk about what you saw, and I saw the end of the Rapids holding on in their Rocky Mountain Cup challenge, first game there. One thing that I wanted to bring up was that Brian Schmetzer said there was nothing good about traveling to Philadelphia, that it that, you know, going there and then not playing is not, you know, great for the team. So having to fly there and not play is just, it's a drain. But he did say that Rusnak and Yamar were in full practice today, and João Paulo and Fry are still questionable for Saturday. So maybe not playing and not traveling for them did some good.
Yeah, I mean, you know, those guys weren't going to play anyway, I don't think. And so, you know, every week that goes by is one week that they're closer to being back. But yeah, I mean, that's a long flight. That's probably 5-hour flight from Seattle at least.
At least, yeah.
So, yeah, 10 hours round trip of flying just for 6 minutes of slip and slide. It just doesn't really seem like that was worth it. And it was a situation where they couldn't you know, wait and maybe play it the next day because of the schedule congestion and everything. So just unfortunate, and you know, some years are like that, I guess, where you're just getting unlucky with the weather. I think the Rapids had like three or four games that were postponed or, you know, rescheduled last year because of lightning and all kinds of things. So just, I don't know.
Yeah, that seems to happen a lot more there. The Rapids, y'all get those lightning storms through the mountains.
Yeah, definitely. Hail. A lot of hail.
One other thing I wanted to say about the match was that Seed 97 on the Discord actually brought up the fact that there was a Union fan whose daughter was there at the game, and she's type 1 diabetic, and she was going through a stage of being embarrassed about being type 1 diabetic, and Jordan Morris came and talked to her and validated her feelings and said, I've been through this. And, you know, he has a foundation for people that are type 1 diabetic, and because he is himself. And so I thought that was pretty cool that he took the time to talk to her, and, you know, game didn't happen, but it doesn't matter ultimately what team you root for. When you have something like that, I think it's pretty cool that he could come there and support her, even though she's on a, you know, rooting for a different team.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah. Gotta love JMO. He's a good guy. And speaking of Jordan Morris, you know, I felt like maybe one of the takeaways from that game was sort of looking at the setup that they went into it with. You know, it looked like, I think, a two striker setup with Jordan and Rui Diaz up top, which I think you guys had talked about last week as maybe being something you'd like to see, and maybe we hadn't seen that before from the Sounders. But, you know, based on the personnel that were available, I thought it was an interesting decision from Schmetzer. And I think that could work.
Yeah. I mean, we saw, I think, the opening game out of necessity.
Okay.
And then one time last year, but it didn't work out last year. Like they clearly had not been training together. And so they were in the same place. They couldn't figure out. So I think they probably had a little more time now, but yeah, I mean, I think, two up top, you know, I've always been a fan of that, and being able to see them together. If you can have Jordan Morris running at the defense and getting the ball in positions where Rui Diaz can take advantage of it, because he's just always in the right place at the right time, I think that's probably a chance for them to score some goals, which has really been the Sounders' issue so far.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. And I mean, looking at that midfield, like you had Roldan in there, you had Atencio. I'm trying to think who else was in across the four, but not, yeah, I mean, not a ton of playmakers.
Atencio and Obed.
Yeah, Atencio and Obed, and then who was on the other sort of wing?
Did you say Roll? Oh, Chu. Chew and Roldan.
Yeah, Chew. Yeah.
Leo, I almost blocked it out of my mind.
Yeah.
Tigres just scored again. Tigres is up 2-0 now in the 20th nice. Minute over Orlando in the CCC.
Man. Yeah, the Liga MX teams seem more in form right now because their season's a little bit further on.
Yeah, it's mid-season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, are you going to get the creativity? Are you going to set up the chances? How is that going to be facilitated? I mean, I suppose you're going to try and build from either, you know, through Roldan or through Leo Chu, and somehow get the ball into the middle and into Rui Diaz or Morris, but. You know, I don't know how much they work on that in practice, work on a 4-4-2 setup, but so it would be interesting to see how it would play out over 90 minutes.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to see it if it gets normalized. I think that's the problem, is if they're not used to it, it's harder. A couple what, two or three seasons ago, we did see it for a run where we were excellent. And that almost might have been a three, or I mean, maybe five at the back. If you can, they were more like wing backs who played up.
Yeah, like a 3-5-2.
Yeah, yeah. So that, I mean, I like that a lot. Yeah, and we'll see what happens. But let's talk about that Rapids match against RSL, where they were down, what, 1-0, and then came back, took the lead, and were able to hold on through the final minutes to win.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, Rocky Mountain Cup, it's hard to even call it a rivalry anymore because RSL has dominated it so much. And the Rapids had only ever won in Salt Lake, or I guess at Rio Tinto in 2020 when there were no fans in the stadium. So this was their first time actually winning a game over RSL when there were actually fans in the stadium. So, you know, that's about as rare a sight as you can see there. But yeah, they got down early. And they got kind of fortunate to get the equalizer because there was just kind of a weird handball in the box that you know, the player on RSL was pushed a little bit, and so he kind of put his arm out, and then the ball hit his arm, but it wasn't enough of a push that they called a foul. So they equalized. Their new striker that they acquired during the summer transfer window last year, Rafael Navajo. He got his first goal of the season. They've really needed to get him going, so maybe that will be something that gets him going. And then just played him pretty tough for the second half, and got a goal from Cole Bassett, who was making his 100th appearance for the club, and scored the winner, and they were able to hold on to it. Zach Steffen was really big in goal, made a few pretty big saves to preserve the win, and you know, he looks like he's starting to round into form. So yeah, I think, you know, like in terms of like an emotional win, that's like as emotional as it gets for the Colorado Rapids to beat your biggest rival first time ever in front of their fans at that stadium, and get your coach his first win as the Rapids coach. You know, they're coming into the Sounders game on an emotional high for sure.
What has it been about this rapid season where, I mean, it came in looking like they were going to be improved from last year, and maybe new coach or, you know, new players learning to gel. It just has yet to happen where, you know, it's been kind of a rough start.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the Portland game was awful. You know, I kind of had higher hopes for them this season. Just based on the guys they brought in, Zach Steffen, Georgi Mihailovic, Sam Vines came back from Belgium. So, you know, you bring in all these guys who really have something to prove. They're on the fringe of the national team. And, you know, it's just sort of taking them a little bit, I think, to gel. I think you're kind of right about that. That first game, you know, so the way the Rapids want to play, they want to high press and win the ball high and then move forward really quickly in the attack. But if your team knows how to break the press, you know, you're going to be counterattacking really fast in space. And that, in the Rapids back line, you know, two of them have some speed, but two of them are a little bit slower. Andreas Maxu and Keegan Rosenberry, they're not going to be able to run with somebody like Jordan Morris or Leo Chu. So, you know, if the Sounders can break the press against the Rapids, that counter press, then they're going to be able to get in behind potentially, if those guys are in the right spaces.
Yeah, and I will say, the Rapids do have 4 points, so it's not. I think it was that first game where against Portland was disappointing because everyone was picking Portland for second to last or last in the conference. Turns out they're in first place, so they have 2 wins and a draw. So maybe they weren't the team. That game may not be emblematic. Oh, Orlando scored, and now it's 2-1. So they're coming back in the CCC. But maybe that measure of that loss to Portland isn't as dire as maybe it seemed. I know you were certainly frustrated with just how much Portland dominated that game.
Yeah. If you look closely at that game, it was, Portland in the first half, I think they only had 3 shots on target and 4 goals because the Rapids had an own goal in the first half. So it was really you talk about worst case scenario. You're playing a team that gets 3 chances. They score all 3 of them, and then you score 1 on yourself, and you're down 4-0 at halftime. If you look inside the numbers, obviously Portland's going to close up shop after that and go into a shell and just see the game out. So the Rapids ended up with way more possession, way more chances, but obviously the loss. So it's hard to take much from a game like that. It's so early in the season. It's kind of hard to tell. I think it'll take a little bit of time before we really understand what this Rapids team is and if they're going to be any good this year.
Yeah. And they're tied for 5th place, only 3 points out of first. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think they can be good this year. After that Portland loss, or really, 15 minutes into it, when they're down 2-0 already, it was just like flashbacks to the Sounders game from last year, last opening game, where the Sounders beat the Rapids 4-0. That's all anybody could think of in the fan base here. It's like, oh, great. Another season like last year where we were the worst team in the Western Conference, because that's how it felt, losing that bad on opening night to a team from the Northwest playing on turf. It's like, it was like a flashback. So, but time will tell. We'll see if they can pull it together. Like I said, they got the emotional win over RSL last week. And so I would imagine they're going to come in to Seattle and try and take all 3.
Is there a chance for it being a letdown game after that emotional, how emotional the last game was, and then you come in and it's harder to get up for it because it's just Seattle, it's not Salt Lake? Or do you think the mystique of playing in Lumen Field still exists in some way?
Yeah, the Sounders are one of the top class teams in the league. I don't think, at least from my perspective, I'm not in the locker room or interviewing the players anymore like I once was, but I get the feeling that people take Seattle seriously, and everybody picked Seattle to win the West, I think, at least pretty much all of the preseason predictions that I saw. So they're banged up, but anytime you go into Seattle, I think you got to take that game seriously.
Yeah, Sounders currently sitting at 17th place, second to last in the West. Of course, one less game played. If we had played a game, we could be much higher in the standings. And poor San Jose, all the way down there in the bottom with 3 losses and a -5 goal differential. The team that Seattle travels to next weekend, and I'm actually going out there bringing the Heritage Cup, which Sounders found. So presenting it to the San Jose Earthquakes, who are the current holders of that cup. Right now, it's only Seattle versus San Jose, but it is a cup that is based on NASL heritage. So right now, any NASL team that still exists in some kind of continuation form could be a part of it, which is only Seattle, Portland, Vancouver, and us, and San Jose. But the other two Cascadia teams chose not to, but there's talks of expanding it to any city that once had a team in the NASL. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'll be traveling with a giant trophy down to San Jose in a week from tomorrow.
That's awesome. You guys aren't going to let the New York Cosmos in? Tampa Bay Rowdies.
I mean, if they played us somehow, we could, but I don't think we play enough.
Yeah, not going to have any side bets on the side games on the Heritage Cup.
No, especially not with the fact that, I guess Seattle's in the U.S. Open Cup, but I don't know if any of the other teams are. I don't. Sadly, of course, the MLS only put 8 teams in the MLS Cup, and they had to be teams that had. I think it was teams that had won either the championship or the Supporters Shield and were currently not in the CONCACAF Champions Cup.
Yeah, I'm figuring out the formula for who was in and who was out was a little bit tricky. I know from talking with people at the Rapids, they were not let in against their wishes. They wanted to be in it. They wanted their first team in it, but they've got Rapids 2 in there. So,
but I saw the MLS Next Pro requirements for being a part of that today, and it is as convoluted and complicated as MLS roster rules, because if a first team player is going to play for them, you can't loan them down and just be okay with it, because they have to have played less than an average of 15 minutes per game. And if they're loaned down for US Open Cup, they have to stay down for 90 days.
Oh, wow.
So you essentially give up a player for 90 days in order to make them eligible for the MLS Next Pro squad. So it essentially means that they're not going to allow any of the top players to go down, because unless you're willing to lose a player for 3 months, why would you do that?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like, you know, MLS and US Soccer Federation are just kind of having a pissing match over it.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, I'm not going to only blame MLS. They're both at fault here. You know, MLS was in charge of promotion probably 3 or 4 years ago and before that. And it never, I mean, I enjoyed it, but I don't think it ever made public consciousness the same way that maybe it should have. But they've dropped out. And then, of course, US Soccer hasn't done anything with it since then. You know, this should be on par with the FA Cup in England, right? This should be a huge event. And for whatever reason, it's not. Americans love an underdog. Americans love the idea of a amateur team beating a pro team like Portland losing to Cal FC. So
yeah,
I'm surprised.
It's one of my favorite. Yeah, it's one of my favorite tournaments. One of my favorite storylines every year is seeing the cup sets. I mean, yeah, how can you not root for an underdog? And you know, maybe. Maybe the soccer culture in America just hasn't got there yet. You know, I mean, it's growing, but you know, maybe someday the FA Cup will, or the Open Cup will be on par with the FA Cup.
Let's hope so. I mean, 114 years of history is a lot of history.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have you heard anything from Rapid supporters? I know you're a member of Centennial, but have you heard anything, rumblings about protesting by boycotting the Nations League or Leagues Cup? I should say not Nations League. That's the other one. That's the CONCACAF wide one.
I have not. I haven't heard any chatter about that. But I'll definitely keep my ears open.
Yeah, I know that's something that a bunch of supporter groups are talking about. I'm not sure what's going to happen in Seattle, especially because we are in the U.S. Open Cup. But I do, I am trying to think of ways to send a message while still supporting our players at the same time.
Yeah. I mean, it's, that's always the fine line with these fan protests. How do you send the message while also supporting the players? You know, I think you probably saw the Rapids supporters, how they handled that last year. They'd had a walkout, but the banners that they left in the section specifically said that the players deserved better. It was the crest, the fans, and the players deserve better. So I thought they handled that pretty well. So, you know, good luck to the Sounders supporters or any of the supporters groups that decide to try and, you know, do some sort of protest or around U.S. Open Cup. You know, it's the first I've heard of it, so I'll definitely be looking out for it.
Yeah, I mean, I had a conversation with Hugh Weber, the president of the Sounders, recently, where he talked about Leagues Cup, and I get it. I get why teams want to play in it. It's not just a money grab. It also has to do with, as we're seeing in the CCL, where we're getting our butts kicked, meaning MLS teams today, 8-1 in the two games combined so far. But, you know, it's about, these are our opponents that we need to match up against if we're going to move up from being the 12th best league in the world. If we want to break the top 10, we have to be a better league than Liga MX. I don't think we can do that without roster expansion. And I think that also is the reason why the league is forcing an either or on the U.S. Open Cup. I don't think that's necessary. They play the Carabao Cup, FA Cup, and they play Premier League and Champions League. Some of those teams, like Chelsea, was in all those, right? So my team that I support. So if you expanded the rosters, I would say add 2 or 3 TAM players and a few players just under that, you could be fine. You could, because then there's enough quality players where you could play a second team that still has excellent players in it and could succeed.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that. I mean, it's always going to be, you know, roster growth and I mean, look at where it is now compared to where it was 15 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago. I mean, the rosters are so much better now than they ever have been. And as Apple invests and you know, the league continues to grow, we'll probably see that. I mean, we'll probably see, you know, more investment into the product on the field. I can only imagine where this league is going to be after the 2026 World Cup, when you get all of a sudden all this attention and all this momentum toward soccer in the United States. And after a couple of years of having Messi play domestically, you know, I'm excited for the direction of the league and where these rosters are going to be just 2 years from now.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the hardest part is, you know, Garber's an NFL guy, so I'm excited for league growth. We need it. Money's obviously going to be involved, but we also need a buy-in from the clubs that they're not going to turn their backs on supporters and will keep tickets available for them for cheaper than, you know, it's rough in Miami, what's going on, the amount people are getting charged. And then if you're traveling there, the ticket prices are insane. And that, I don't think that's sustainable in Miami. If Messi leaves, yeah, those other players are great, but people are not going to turn out in the numbers they did. So what do you do when your ticket prices are that high and no one's showing up in Miami after that? It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, when Messi's not on that roster anymore, they're going to have to look in the mirror at what they're charging, for sure. I mean, they can get away with it now, but I mean, I wouldn't be happy if I was a Montreal fan and I went down there to see Messi and he's wearing a Hawaiian shirt on the sideline. Although I guess I would be happy because they won 3-2. But
yeah, you got the points.
Yeah. But But yeah, I mean, if you're making a special trip all the way down to Miami to see your team play against Messi, you want to see him play. But anyway, it's kind of a tangent.
Yeah. We don't play Messi this year in Seattle, or down there either. Seattle, he's not on the roster, but after the Sounders beat Colorado in the Western Conference final, maybe he'll come to Seattle as the Eastern Conference champion.
There you go.
Well, it's been really great having you on, and you kind of talked about what the Rapids are going to try and do. So as a way of ending the show, what's your score prediction for this coming Saturday day game, too, which is probably a first of the season for the Sounders? I don't know if the Rapids have played a day game yet, but it's, I know from talking to Sounders players, they don't love day games. They prefer night games because day games screw up their entire schedule.
Oh, interesting. Gosh, I don't think the Rapids have had a day game in at least over a year because they didn't have one last year at all. So yeah, I mean this one's on Fox, right? I mean, I think it's on the big the network. So yeah, a little bit extra pressure to be on national TV. It's a little bit more exposure, I guess, for the teams. So I guess that's another reason why I think both teams will bring it for sure. I don't know. It's hard for me to pick the Rapids in this. I went into that RSL game thinking they were going to lose 3-0, and somehow they found a way to scrap and come back and win it. But if I had to put a prediction on it, I would say probably 2-0 Seattle. I think Seattle gets the first goal. And then the Rapids will press and send guys forward and then probably get burned on a counter and give up a second. That would be kind of how I see it playing out.
Yeah, I mean, I like that, obviously, but we have yet to see the Sounders as a goal scoring machine, obviously. And we see them do what traditionally they seem to do, which is give up goals late in the halves. And so I'm a little concerned that maybe they go down 1-0 heading into the half on a late goal where they just switch off, and then have to come out and tie it and then 1-1. That's my prediction. I think it's going to be a first half letdown in garbage time of the first half that kind of is the boogeyman again. It seems to get the Sounders at times.
Hey, I would take a point in Seattle if I were the Rapids. The Rapids have a really tough start to the season as far as the schedule goes. So any points they can pick up right now, because I think they have Sounders and then they have Houston, LAFC, and then Inter Miami. So it's just been it's been a really tough schedule to get any points.
Is that Inter Miami match in Denver, or is it, or Commerce City, or is it down there?
It's in Miami, yeah.
Okay. Are you gonna go? I mean, that's your old home.
I'd love to go, but I'm pretty sure my son has a soccer game that weekend, so I'm committed already.
He's getting called up to Inter Miami to play with
There you go. We brought it full circle. We did it.
Messi. Well, Dan, it's been great having you on here. Where can people find you? I don't think you're as active on Twitter as you used to be in your new job.
No,
When you were at the 18, you tweeted a lot about soccer.
yeah, I used to tweet a lot about soccer. I still tweet about soccer a little bit. But yeah, you can follow me on X. You can follow me there at Daniel Boniface. So look me up, Denver Gazette
Cool.
digital editor.
Yep. And of course, I am at Legal Minded Punk on all of the social medias. And I did have one more question before you go. Have you ever seen the show Sister Boniface Mysteries?
I have not, no. I haven't even heard of
It's a
it.
British comedy show.
haven't heard of it. No.
Yeah, I haven't seen it, but I was like, huh, that's pretty cool.
I have heard about a soccer player in the Bundesliga named Victor Boniface, who I think he's like in the top five in goals. I think he plays for Leverkusen or someone like that. So,
oh, nice, nice.
Random Boniface and, I mean, references.
Yeah, I mean, you've had at least 8 or 9 family members that were popes, right? I think I don't think there was Pope Boniface the 10th, but
yeah, there were a few.
Yeah, I think the 9th passed away in 1404. It's been a while.
Yep. It's been a hot minute.
Well, maybe if soccer doesn't work out for Beckham, he's got a path.
I don't think that's his path. I think maybe something having to do with Roblox or something like that. I don't know.
An engineer.
Yeah, there you go. He'll make some video games.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, everybody. Be sure to join the Discord. It'll be in the show notes, and that's where you can give us questions and comments to include in the show. Plus, during games, we have ongoing discussion, and when news breaks and stuff like that. I know you're on there, Dan, as well.
Yep.
And go rate and review us. Yeah, we need more reviews on particularly Apple Podcasts or iTunes, whichever one you use. So with that, I'm going to say take it away, James, and I'll see you on the Fortnite, Stan.
All right. Let's get some dubs.
You can follow the Sounder Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at SSFC Scuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.